For Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 11th, 2018. And on this day, state lawmakers making slow progress on addressing numerous unresolved bills and issues. They call them the Terminators. What do they have to do with getting rid of oversized, bulky waste? That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Lawmakers are making slow progress on addressing numerous bills and issues left unresolved from their second regular legislative session that ended in early May. Today, the legislature's Appropriations Committee passed a $37 million spending package that could set the stage for resolving outstanding issues in a special session. That could happen as early as next week, as Mal Leary reports.
Most of the spending is for programs in the Department of Health and Human Services. Approval of the plan was swift and happened with little comment in public session. Westbrook Democrat Drew Gatine co-chairs the committee.
They are really oriented towards providing services to people with disabilities, to seniors, to resolving or making some strides in solving the opioid crisis, and Maine's elderly.
Many of those programs leverage federal funds through the Medicaid program and address service backlogs in several areas. The match is nearly $2 federal for every state dollar. Part of the money will also give increased reimbursement rates for nursing homes.
This is really a big investment in Maine people, in the businesses that support them, and the workers that a lot of them are low-wage workers.
The measure provides nearly $6.7 million for treatment of opioid addiction using several best practices recommended by a state commission on the opioid crisis. There's also money to expand the state's drug courts. And the measure's not all spending. It includes a provision increasing the penalty for trafficking in fentanyl to a Class A crime. That's up to 30 years in prison. The bill would also take $4 million from tobacco settlement funds for lead abatement. But as Oxford Republican Senator Jim Hamper, the committee co-chair, told the panel, they still have a lot of work to do.
So here we are, Act Two, Scene Two. And don't know how many acts and how many scenes we got left, but here we go again.
Hamper says the committee has over 100 spending bills left over from the second regular session that ended in turmoil last month. He says lawmakers will want the committee to at least consider funding some of them, and they'll be discussed by the committee as early as later this week or when a special session convenes. Also left undone is some 40 bonding proposals, and he believes some will be sent to the voters in November.
When you add it all up, I've got somewhere in the neighborhood of a billion dollars worth of bond requests, which if I was to walk over there and look into my crystal ball, I would say we're going to probably end up somewhere around 175 would be my guess.
Hamper says once legislative leaders discuss bonding priorities, the committee will meet to vote on which proposals will go to the full legislature. Both Appropriations Committee leaders stress this bill is separate from the $26 million package for maintaining pay for direct care workers and funding the county jails the panel voted on 2 weeks ago. No date for the special session has been set, as legislative leaders poll all the members of the House and Senate on the best time to convene the session. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
As National Pride Month picks up steam, members of Maine's LGBTQ community are celebrating a fresh victory. The State Bureau of Motor Vehicles will now include a third option for non-binary people, people who don't identify exclusively as male or female. Willis writer Arnold reports.
The Maine Bureau of Motor Vehicles will no longer require people getting IDs and driver's licenses to select only male or female to indicate their gender. The change comes after a year-long mediation process between the Maine Human Rights Commission and the department. Last June, Ian Meredith Lindsay filled out a gender designation form, went to the BMV, and was told the current computer system couldn't accommodate a non-binary gender designation.
It was frustrating. Just because, you know, other states do have that accommodation, and so it was a little frustrating to know the state that I live in and love at the time didn't have that accommodation.
Lindsay reached out to the Maine Human Rights Commission, which soon began talks with the state. Maine is the first New England state to offer the option of replacing the M for male or F for female on identification cards and licenses with an X to indicate non-binary gender. The policy is already in place in Oregon and Washington, D.C. Mainers can now apply for an official sticker to put on their driver's licenses that will accurately indicate their gender. It's a change that could eliminate one source of continual concern, says Ian Meredith Lindsay.
It's just a daily challenge, and you're always concerned, and there's always that little bit of apprehension and fear of like, okay, I have to show my ID. How is this person going to react based on my gender expression, my gender presentation, and my gender identity, and how that's not reflected in my ID at all.
Lindsay says the fact a state ID will actually provide a more accurate descriptor seems a bit surreal.
But at the same time, it feels really, really amazing to actually have documentation from my state that reflects and represents who I am and that validates my existence.
Maine Transgender Network's executive director, Quinn Gormley, says the change will benefit their several hundred members throughout the state. She says news of the change has brought tears to the eyes of many.
I could go on about how having accurate IDs gives you better access to employment and housing in the state, and certainly that's an important issue. But I think there's a really core level of validation in having an official document recognize you for who you are.
Gormley says the change in Maine's BMV-issued IDs is a step toward equality that is cause for people outside the community to celebrate as well.
Even if you don't understand what the meaning of this change is to our community, that you can at least join us in celebrating the visibility that it's bringing and understanding that this visibility is only going to help us grow and make us more resilient.
Newly issued IDs will include the non-binary gender option starting July 2019. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
We walk on it, we drive on it, we even sleep on it. But when it's time to dispose of our old carpeting, tires, and mattresses, it all becomes oversized bulky waste, or OBW. OBW is literally the fuel that fires trash to energy incinerators, including the Penobscot Energy Recovery Company in Orrington. PERC is now running without the support of federal subsidies, without a third of its former municipal waste contracts. But managers at the plant say their economic fortunes are picking up thanks to a new pair of $800,000 machines that they call the Terminators. A.J. Higgins has more.
The 40-foot-long German-built grinder dominates the center of the processing floor and emits a constant rumble as a nearby Grappo-equipped excavator deposits worn-out tires into the machine's feeding compartment. Within minutes, these old tires that once clogged the state's landfills become fuel that will generate electricity to power homes. Hank Lang, plant manager at PERC, says before the purchase of the new equipment, about 5 to 10% of its materials could not be processed for incineration.
With this grinder machine, the Terminator, we had no non-processable material that we sent to the landfill for the last 2 or 3 months.
That's about the same time that a federally subsidized contract for electrical power expired, forcing 17 layoffs. PERC saw its power generation payments drop from $173 per megawatt down to about $75 during the peak heating season. The plant is also preparing for a future without two-thirds of its municipal solid waste contracts from communities that have opted instead to send their refuse to a new waste-to-energy plant in Hamden that's still under construction.
So it's an enormous change in the financials of the facility because our primary revenue stream in the past was always the electrical end. Now our primary revenue stream is the tipping fee end. So we're learning.
Tipping fees are what communities pay these facilities to accept their trash, and PERC is hedging part of its future bets on oversized bulky waste. That's because its competitor in Hamden won't be accepting OBW when it goes fully online sometime next year. Lang says even if 10% of all waste processed at PERC is oversized bulky waste, the two terminators could mean the difference between turning a profit or absorbing a loss.
The terminators can do a lot of work with less people. You know, it only takes one guy to feed that machine. It still takes about the same number of maintenance people to keep everything maintained, but we don't need as many people to operate the equipment. And in fact, we've gone from four shifts down to two.
And carpets, tires, mattresses, and railroad ties aren't the only troublesome disposal items that the terminators can handle.
I think PERC has found a way to grind the old lobster rope.
At the Maine Resource Recovery Association in Newport, Executive Director Victor Horton says many communities have been trying to find a way to dispose of floating rope, known as pot warp, once used by lobster fishermen. The rope is being replaced in an effort to reduce whale entanglements, and Horton says depending on its condition, the pot warp has limited or no value.
You can only make so many lobster rope mats out of it, and a lot of times some of the issue is there's nylon, there's a little bit of cotton thrown in, and then there's polypropylene, so you have to do some sorting.
At its worst, the pot warp deteriorates as it collects in weight for an inevitable trip to a landfill. Waste disposal experts say the rope is notorious for jamming machinery at transfer stations and, if burned openly, will create toxic fumes. On the island of Matinicus, resident Eva Murray had been watching the stuff pile up for years. But when she heard that PERC could process the rope, she rounded up a group of friends and loaded 15,000 pounds of pot warp onto a truck and transported it to Orrington, where it was ground up and burn to create energy.
It doesn't make any difference to the people of Matinicus where it goes, as long as where it goes is a better option than what we've got here. We'd like to not landfill it. We'd like to not open burn it. And we definitely want it not in the ocean.
And oversized bulky waste isn't going to go away. The State Department of Environmental Protection places OBW within the category of demolition and construction debris, which makes up more than one quarter of all solid waste generated by normal household and commercial sources. Meanwhile, at PERC, plant managers say they expect to see increased business over the summer months as more communities choose to generate electricity from their OBW instead of burying it in the ground. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
Hundreds of children are awaiting mental health services in Maine, and many are waiting months. The Bangor Daily News reports 336 young people are waiting for home and community-based treatment under the state's Medicaid program. Over a quarter of those children have been waiting longer than 3 months as of April 27th. The program sends behavioral health professionals on home visits to children with serious emotional disturbances and disruptive behavior. A separate wait list shows 312 young people with cognitive functioning issues waiting for Maine Care Services as of May 11th. Meanwhile, another list shows 156 children, mostly with autism, awaiting other services. The three lists have overlap. Providers say many families give up waiting or never get referrals. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services did not respond to the newspaper's questions. A Maine fisherman who has had his commercial fishing licenses revoked is facing a warrant for his arrest for fishing for baby eels without a license. The Bangor Daily News reports Lucas Lemoyne failed to appear in Hancock County on a pair of fishing-related misdemeanor charges. The warrant was issued on Tuesday. Lemoyne of Southwest Harbor had his licenses taken away in 2015 for what authorities called a pattern of disregard for state marine laws, Calls by the Associated Press to phone listings for Lemoyne came back as disconnected. It's unclear if he has an attorney. Lemoyne was charged with fishing for baby eels with a license in April. Baby eels called elvers are a major Maine fishery. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And for Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, June 11th, 2018. Thanks to Susan Sharon, Mark Simpson, and our digital team, I'm Ed Morin.